me many things, and so I would enjoy them because I would speak of the world, and I would enjoy being around with those that belong to this world. You know, when I'm saying that, it's those that are not saved. And when people that were Christians tried to talk to me about God, it was very uncomfortable to me, and I'm sure to you also, because we know there's a heaven, we know there's a hell, we know there's a God, we know there's a devil, but my place was in the world because I belonged to the world until I gave my life to Christ. But when we surrender our lives to Christ, everything changed. The Bible tells us that we are in the world, but we are not of this world. Okay? We're like pilgrims. We're passing through. And our home now, it should be in heaven. That's where we'll be for eternity. But let me tell you, what is your thought about heaven? And a lot of times we don't think about heaven. We say, okay, Jesus died. And then when we do mention heaven, we have the wrong concept of what heaven is like. Okay? So, as Christians, are we interested in heaven? You know, are we interested? We should. You know, personally, that's my goal, to be in heaven. But a lot of times, because we're in the flesh, we focus more on things of the earth than on heaven. And when we do mention heaven as Christians, sometimes we, like I was saying, we have the wrong concept of what heaven will be like. Okay? Another question I have is, where is heaven? And the answer for that should be, heaven is where God is. I don't know, there, down there, around, heaven is where God dwells. That's where we'll be, in heaven. Okay? So I put here, I started with 3 points, and I have 4, and then I have 5, and then 6, and hopefully I'm going to finish on time. But first of all, in heaven, guess who's there? God. God is there. And biblically, using the word of God, in John 14, 2, the first part, it says, in my Father's house, okay, are many mansions. In other words, if I was to stand in heaven just in a spot, just standing there before God, that's more than a mansion. But see, our minds are, we even sing, I've got a mansion just over the hilltop, okay? And we imagine a mansion being a humongous building. That's what we're going to get. That's a carnal thought. I have a bilingual Bible, and it's the same, but sometimes the English brings out more of what God is trying to tell us, and sometimes the Spanish, there's words that have more emphasis on what, it's still the same, but it's just the way it's said that it brings it out more. In the Spanish, it says, in my Father's house are many dwelling places. And if you notice, it's a house full of rooms. And God has a place for you and me there. But God, first of all, God is there. That's why we should focus on going to heaven, because God will be there. Second of all, okay, our Savior will be there. In Acts 1, 10 and 11, it says, and while they were looking, it says, and while they looked steadfastly towards heaven, as he went up, speaking about Jesus, behold, two men, those were angels, stood by them in white apparel, which also said unto them, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall also come in like manner as ye have seen him go into where? Heaven. So God is going to be there. The Creator is going to be there. The Savior, the Son, will be there. Okay? And then heaven. It's not a place where evolution will have you believe that there is a ball of fire. Where did that ball of fire come from? God created everything. But they believe that there was a ball of fire and then exploded, and all of a sudden, by coincidence, by chance, that little piece of rock called earth, that dot that we painted the last time, just fell in the right place. And with time, all of a sudden, molecules got together and there was a little memo or whatever a little tadpole, and it started with a little tail, and it started swimming, and then it started having little hands, and then it started to walk out of the water. That's what they believe, and they're serious about it. And then it started walking. The tail fell, and it, you know what? I am the ugliest man on earth. I might look like a monkey, but I'm no monkey. I'm a creation of God. And so are you and me. But that's what they believe. And they believe that by chance, things just started popping up. And you know what? If I bring bricks right there, throw them over there. No, but tomorrow, you know what? Oh, there's a big building over there. No, it's not going to happen. God created everything. Okay? And so God is a God of order. So heaven is a place prepared for you and me. He prepared the earth for us here, and he went. And let's look at, I put here, heaven is a prepared place. And John 14, the second part, it says, if it were not so, this is Jesus speaking, if it were not so, I would have told you. I go to what? Prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and I will receive you and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Heaven was prepared for you and I that have accepted the Lord. God is there. See, there's going to be, and the first thing, I'm going to see my loved ones. But God will be there. He's the reason that we'll be there. Jesus the Son is the reason we'll be there because of what he did for you and me. And he goes and prepares a place where it's a huge house. Why do I need a mansion in heaven? I just, you know what, in just standing in the presence of God, that's more than a mansion for all eternity. Knowing that I'm secured forever, that I don't have to worry about nothing because our God, our Savior, will be there. And so he has gone and prepared a place for us. The question is here, will you and I be there? And the answer should be for us that have accepted Christ, yes, we'll be there. Because Tony, because you play the guitar, because Michael, you know how to sing, you deserve to be there. And because Ken, and you work with the surround system, so you have a better place than us. No, we'll be there because of what he did for you and me. That thief in the cross lived a horrible life away from God. At the last second, you and I would say, well, you and I have been serving the Lord for years, and this guy comes up here, stands in line, and goes right in. That's our God. That's our God. And every one of us was bound to go to hell, but because of what he did, and because we received him, we can make sure that we'll be in that prepared place called heaven. Okay? There's a song, and I don't know if we have it in the hymn book. This place is not my home. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. And it said, the angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. And you know what? I don't care. This is nothing new. Can you imagine when God's people were serving, God here on earth when Nebuchadnezzar was in charge? What's going on with the world right now? You know, it shouldn't surprise us. But you know why? Because we are so focused on politics and we forget our place, that our place here on earth is to witness to people and point them to God. But if we get into politics and I start fighting with Tony, John starts fighting with me, and you know what? We forget and we don't talk to each other because of politics, when our goal is to point people to God. So we need to be very careful. Yes, we need to pray for our government people and all that. I don't know why things happen, but I know that God is in control. I don't care who's in charge. God is in control. And if God is in control, first of all, he has to be in control of my life so that I can be in control of what's going on around us. Otherwise, we're going to be running like chickens looking down instead of looking up. There's a, and this has nothing to do with what I'm about to say, but there was an eaglet fell from it was living on a big old tree, and all of a sudden fell off the nest, and there's a whole bunch of chickens, and the chickens started raising that little eaglet like a chicken. So years passed by, and that eagle thought he was a chicken, when he was an eagle. And guess what? When he was eating, and because he was acting like a chicken when he was an eaglet. And one day, he saw a big old shadow passing by, and he looked up, and it was an eagle passing by. And he found out, you know what? What am I doing here? I'm an eagle. And he started stretching his wing. I don't need to be here. And he took off. The reason I'm saying this is because a lot of times we as Christians are walking like chickens instead of eagles, doing the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to be very careful, especially right now. Need to focus on what God sent us here to do, because one day we'll leave this place. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. Amen. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Since I became a Christian, salt, I am the light. Salt, I remember this when Pastor said, if you get a cut and you put salt, and we are salt to the world. When we tell them that something is wrong, they don't like it. And when we talk to them about the light, turn off that light because I like to be in the darkness. We need to be very careful, okay? Where is our home? Philippians 3:20-21. It says, look at our focus where it should be. For our conversation, now as Christians, is in heaven. Also, we look forward for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto him. Our conversation should be different. It's a shame when we as Christians, and there's nothing wrong with speaking about the car, speaking about what's going on, or that, but when we as Christians put everything aside and we don't speak about what heaven is like, what life is as Christians, something is wrong. This world should make you uncomfortable. You know why I go to the store, I go to AutoZone, there's no fear of God there. And the way people talk and the way teens talk, and it's just, this world is not my home. And I said, Lord, I can't wait to be home. That should be, oh no, I'm going to, I said I just bought a piece of property and no. I don't care how much money you have, everything will be left behind. You won't take nothing, nothing but your soul. And those that you witness to, that you want to the Lord, you'll see them up there. Okay? So we need to be very careful. Colossians 3:1 says, if ye be risen with Christ, if we really have accepted Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on earth. Again, we need to live in this earth, but when we depend more on things in the world than on our Heavenly Father or in our heavenly home, we need to examine ourselves. We don't lose our salvation, but we need to focus on where we're going. We need to be very careful, because this world is easily will attract you. And if you don't have your mind set on Christ, this world will bring you down and make you think you're a chicken when you're an eagle. Okay? So, another thing, who will be there? It says, the names of the saved are there. Our loved ones that have died in Christ are there. Look at Revelations 21:27. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever or whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they, look at this, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. My name is written there. There's a new name written down in glory. Yes, it's mine. Yes, it's mine. Why? Because as soon as God forgave me, He sealed me with His Holy Spirit. He wrote my name in the book of heaven. And when I get through the, you know how when you go to the airport and sometimes, oh, well, we don't see your name, my name will be there. Okay? Oh, when the saints go marching in. And I'll be in that number. Because of what He did. My name, your name, our names are written in the book of the Lamb. And so we'll be there. Okay? And look at, let me see. My things are starting to move a little here. Wait. Revelations 21:2. And I, John, not John Draper, but John. It says, and I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. We'll be there forever. That place that He had gone to prepare, all of a sudden, this is when we see this, this is when the tribulation has passed. Okay, the tribulation comes, the millennium has passed already, and all of a sudden, everything will be done. And God, John said, I saw the new Jerusalem coming down from heaven, from God. And we'll be there forever. That's our heaven. We should live. Yes, there's a lot of necessities here. But you know what? My goal, one day I'll be there. God will be there. Jesus will be there. The Holy Spirit will be there. God's people will be there. And it says there, and I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Ephesians 1:13, in whom Look, we were sealed with the Holy Spirit. So it says, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth. When somebody preached to you, when somebody witnessed to you and you heard it. Okay? The gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. This is a reality. This is a reality of God's people. This is our purpose here. Yes, I'm enjoying life. Sometimes things go good, sometimes bad. But we always have problems here. But you know what? When we get there, all things will be done away with and we'll be in heaven forever. I'm going to try and read it here. Matthew 6, 20 and 21. Now I'm going to try to read this here. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust does corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be. You know what? It's amazing. When I was truck driving and I was working for Anderson Clayton, and they had their yard right here. It's gone nothing but houses now on 51st and Southern. And I would come and drop off the loads right there and then weigh them. And then I would wait till they unloaded me and then I'd take off again. And when I would go there, there's a guy there that had a real nice van. We called it the Silver Bullet, and it had nice tinted black windows, had a sunroof. And I said, are you selling that? He said, yeah. And so he sold it to me. And when I was truck driving and I parked my van, I made sure that it was in the light so nobody would get to it. And guess what? When I would come in my big truck, I was over there picking up my load, but in my mind, guess where my treasure was? In that van. And I was driving, my goodness, and when I'd come to the yard, and the first thing I would look for is my van right there parked, and oh my goodness, I would sleep and dreaming of my van, because that's where my heart was at. You buy a piece of property, you buy a house, and you're fixing it, and it looks good. And guess what? I hope you're not sitting right here. And my goodness, my house looks good. And there's nothing wrong. It's part of us being human. But where is your heart this morning? Did you leave everything behind and put the Lord Jesus Christ first? Because this is the reason we're here, to worship God, our Savior. And so we need to be very careful that we don't take something and put it before God. We need to be. So that's why it's saying, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Where is our heart this morning? Maybe you left a pot roast cooking and my goodness, as soon as I get out of here, your heart's there. So we need to be very careful to lay everything aside and put the Lord Jesus Christ first. Look at what it says on Matthew 5:12. Not doing too bad. 5:12. I heard Michelle singing that song, that special. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. I get motivated. Because life here on earth have really given us a beating. We go through ups and downs. People, you know what? You go knocking on doors and house after house, and sometimes they don't even come. Sometimes our family members don't even want us around them because we talk to them about God. Sometimes they make fun of us out there. But you know what? As Michelle sang that song, it will be worth it all. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. And look what it says here in Matthew 5:12. Rejoice and be, and I know that the people here were going through hard persecutions, but it says, rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. So persecuted they the prophets which were before you. So if they make fun of us, I mean, it's amazing. You know, one time we invited a whole bunch of people, and Pat had me cleaning the house, and Pat prepared real good food, and we were waiting there for people to come. Nobody showed up. Hey, we're sorry. We had other things to do. And guess what? When I looked at my wife, Pat, and I said, well, and maybe a couple came here and there. And then they came late on top of that. But you know what? When a pastor prepares the best that God has given him, or the Sunday school teacher, and then people don't show up, it kind of hurts. Not because they're not going to hear me. No, because you wanted, you prepared what God gave you, and you did it with the best of your knowledge, and you did it trusting in the Holy Spirit. But sometimes people don't come. How do you feel? The Bible says that Jesus, he fed a whole bunch of people, and he still picked up 12 baskets full of bread. And what's that mean? There was enough for other people. This is what it is, you know, when we're saying that. But you know what it says? Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. When everything, you know what? Noah preached for 120 years. People left and they would come. He was one of the wonders of the world. People would come back there. I mean, if you would travel 50 miles, it was a long ways because there were no cars. But people would make an effort just to go see an ark in the middle of the desert. Look at the God is coming. God is coming. And at the end of 20 years, guess what? The Lord came and took everybody out. And the only people saved there was those that were in the ark. And when God comes, you and I don't care if you're sleeping, you're in the shower, I don't care if you're working, hammering. When God comes, you and I will be there. In a twinkling of an eye. How long does it take to blink? And we'll be gone to heaven. And last of all, in heaven, there will be a great reunion. A great reunion. Go with me to 1 Thessalonians. I'm going to try to read it. Please bear with me. If I have a problem, I'll put somebody else to read it for me. But I'm going to try to read it. 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 and 7, through 17. There's going to be a great reunion there. When you have a reunion, and Ed just went to a reunion over there in Arkansas, wherever he, and guess what? There's going to be families and all that, but some of them are gone home, some of them won't be there, but you know what? In that reunion, all of God's people will be there. And it says right there, 1 Thessalonians 4:13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope. How sad for those that die without Christ. He says, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so Even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. There'll be reason right there. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we, us, which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord, shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. See, Paul was saying back then, Paul was alive. And Paul was saying, don't worry, our loved ones that have died, they're going to rise first. And then we, well, guess what? Paul died. So now we say, they're going to rise first. And if the Lord comes, then we, which are alive, will be taken and forever be with the Lord. And God will be there. And Jesus will be there. And the Holy Spirit will be there. And God's people will be there. And there'll be no more sorrow. There'll be no more pain. And I don't know if I skipped a verse here. It says here, but let me bring it back just in case I did. And there shall be no in no wise enter into it anything that defiles, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the book of life. You and I will be there. This is what a small glimpse of what heaven will be like when we get there. I don't know if we have it. This world is not my home. Do we have it, or do you know what? And with that, I'm going to finish. But I don't know if maybe Michael can lead us in just 485. Yeah. If Michael can we can sing at least a verse. Open those hymn books to 485. And if we can sing, or can you read the first verse of what it says? The first, what does it say? Second, how many verses is that? One, four? Okay, and read the last one. That's what it is. Let's pray. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you. Thank you for the opportunity that you have given me, Lord, of giving ourselves a glimpse of what heaven will be like. Of course, there's verses where this is where we imagine what heaven will be like, but in reality, we have no idea. The Bible says that eye has not seen or ear heard what the Lord has prepared for them that love the Lord. Because, Lord, in other words, if we were to see a speck of heaven with this body, out of joy, Lord, our minds would blow like a shotgun because we couldn't handle it. So it is necessary, Father, for you to transform us into that glorious body so that we can be able to enter into your presence, Lord. Father, thank you. Forgive us when we, as chickens, look down instead of looking in the in the upward direction of where heaven sat. And Father, help us to be an example to the world. Help us to be an encouragement to those that do not know you. And Father, may our hearts always rejoice because you went to prepare a place for us and you will come again for us, Lord. Father, thank you so much. We ask your blessing be with Pastor Cook as he will be bringing the message. Be with Michelle. Be with Alan, Lord, and Susan, and be with those that are have a part in giving a Sunday school class or the message, Lord. We'll give you the honor and glory in Christ's name. We thank you. Amen.